Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Alrighty then.
All the way up.
Three young gentlemen.
All the way up.
Getting a nice Colorado breeze.
A nice Colorado breeze.
I'm all the way up.
No, you're not. You're all the way down. Actually, you can't see it at home, boys and girls. Jared Taylor, no lie, polished off an entire bottle of Tito's vodka and is currently, you look like you're beached right now.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm going to have to actually move over because I cannot hear Jared outside what the fuck he's saying.
I'll move.
I don't know if he cares about the podcast tonight, but,
I can't hear him. Can't see him. He's full beached at this point.
I'm not full beached. What does that even mean?
You're full beached. You got to talk into the microphone. You're full beached down there.
You know what this is kind of, I just thought of? This is like the attrition podcast because we lost Evan. We're going to lose Jared.
Yeah, you're not losing me. I'm here.
We're logging. No, I mean, the next one, I think we're going to lose you.
I'm just horizontal.
You might be gone. You might be gone.
I'm horizontal.
Yeah, God, we got a Blackhawk down in there.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, kids. I can tell you, just from Jared Taylor laying on the floor, it's going to be a real shit show tonight.
I fucking hope so. I'm going to chug this whiskey because I'm going to get weird.
You should.
Yeah,
you should.
Let's get stupid.
I'll put it this way, Jared. You're so drunk that you pressured us into drinking more. We're live from Colorado.
Right.
We're in Denver. It's our last night here. We're enjoying the shit out of this weather, and we're gonna try to do our best tonight. But I don't know if it's possible. You're spilling all over yourself. It is lit. There's vodka all over your shirt.
I just want a little bit more.
Oh God.
Well, Ross. Hello. I'm present. How are you? You
know, Mr. Matt Best is here. Present, alive, alert, and awake.
I'm like fucking Christmas right now. You know.
You really are.
I'm like a Noel or whatever Christmas is. I'm present.
Either way, you know.
You're fucking Noel. Christmas?
I'm Christmas. I am Christmas in October. Christmas.
Yeah, you are Christmas in October. Ting, 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 ting. That's when it's lovely weather for Jared to fucking throw up on the floor. this is going to be a real experience tonight.
I'm not going to throw up.
So here's the thing. As you know, from every other show, we start off with sponsors tonight. I'm almost going to say they're going to be embarrassed of this show just by Jared's behavior.
Jared is literally
laying
on the floor.
I've got one leg up.
Oh, God.
I got
that
one
leg is
up.
All the way up. It's on the side of a sliding glass door.
You would almost think that this is not a business. It's just merely fun.
It is.
I got to roll to get my drink.
Oh, God. He's rolling over on the floor,
and
folks.
On his iPhone. Okay, so the sponsors. They make this possible, and we love them.
They do. We do. And first up, we got a little sponsor called Havenlock. I'm going to be honest. On this one, Matt, I think I wish we would have put the Haven Mech device on the liquor cabinet.
Yeah, the
door,
liquor cabinet. I was going to say Jared's
so
drinking.
So he couldn't open it up anymore.
Right.
Because this is turned into a shit
show. I don't
deserve
that.
Yeah, you do. Right now, you'd be cut off if we were at a bar.
Yeah.
Your parents are probably ashamed of you.
Look at your
right
shirt.
Now.
His shirt is covered.
Covered in vodka.
With the Jareds, I really feel sometimes like the audience thinks that we're fucking around. Like, oh, it's a skit.
It's not. It's not. It's real.
It's real.
It's real, yeah. Yeah, there's like a grunting. You're nowhere near the microphone either. No one can hear you. Again, it's an audio show.
I was having another sip.
And on that audio show, we got Havenlock as our first sponsor. Look, on average, it takes about 3 kicks to kick in a fucking front door. With the Haven Mech device, it takes more than 50. You want to keep your family safe? You want to keep your wife safe, your dog safe, your pet turtle safe? Go to Havenlock.com, order the Haven Mech. It's the best deadbolt you'll ever have for your door. They're veteran owned. Whether or not they were in combat is up to you.
Well, guess what? The good thing about being a veteran is you served your country, and some people
goddamn right.
You know, the real thing is you'd want to serve your country when there wasn't a war, because that means we're in peacetime, which would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad I got to shoot some fuckers in the face, but
yeah.
You know, I like the Havenlock, man.
They didn't have the Havenlock.
Yeah, Havenlock.
You kicked their door in.
I feel like we should almost just kick Jared off this podcast and just do a onesies and twosies.
I know. Never. I know it. I know it.
So I've got good stuff to tell you.
Go to Havenlock.com. Get yourself a Haven Mech device. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get a Havenlock for lock on your fucking door for $99, which is almost like stealing, I feel
right.
like.
Right. You got 99 problems, but a lock ain't one. You know?
Goddamn right.
Right?
I'm pretty sure
Jay-Z owns one. I mean, I know Kanye wants one after that Kim Kardashian bullshit.
I know.
She had a Havenlock. There was no tying up in the bathtub.
Exactly. You know? And she was duct taped, lying in the tub with the concierge. She had a Haven Mech. Boom. That shit wouldn't happen.
No.
Fucking, where's Franklin on this one? You need a picture.
Franklin Chambliss?
Yeah, you need a picture.
A nice
of-
meme.
Yeah,
of Kim Kardashian, duct tape,
Havenlock would have prevented this.
Yeah, Haven, that might even be their new slogan,
their new ad campaign.
Next up, we get a fan fave. One of the biggest, one of the brightest, one of the sexiest in the land is a little tiny energy drink that we like to call StrikeForceEnergy.com.
Love it.
Feel the tiger. I think that's their new slogan. I'm kidding. I just made that up.
Is it Ride the Tiger?
It could be Ride the Tiger.
Feel the tiger.
Ride the death tiger.
Strike Force.
Ride that tiger. Strike Force. Punch that clown. Strike Force. Kill that puma. Strike Force. Yeah. So go to StrikeForceEnergy.com, get the tastiest, tiniest little energy drink in a little tiny tin pouch.
Kick the fucking can, bro.
Kick the can, bro. You don't need a fucking can anymore. You got a pouch, dude.
Fuck cans, not the environment, right?
Exactly, dude. Since Strikeforce has been around, there's been over 4,287 dolphins saved. That's fact. What is fiction is that people give a shit. Because they don't.
They don't
give a shit about the environment, but they should. And if you got kids, you should go out and get some StrikeForceEnergy.com. Stop buying Red Bull. Put that in the fucking can. get yourself some StrikeForceEnergy.com. Go to their website. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off of everything. And they also have a subscription, and they deliver everywhere in the entire world.
Which is, you know me, I consistently say this in the podcast. I like subscriptions because I'm a lazy mother.
Same here.
I'm Jared Taylor. I'm on my iPhone laying on my back right now.
Just laying on a back.
Dude, I want my Strike Force to show up texting at my fucking door.
Texting
how much fun would it be if we did like a jingle day where we booked like some studio time, and all our sponsors that have been around with us for a while, we wrote a bunch of fucking jingles and just mailed them to them.
Look, that'd be fantastic. Also very time consuming, Jared. Because after that, we should go to, you know what else would be awesome? If we just went to all their houses and made all their beds for them.
Or we sang Christmas carols.
Yeah.
Noel carols, or whatever they're called.
We just went door to door.
Sang some Christmas carols.
Right around Christmas time, sang some Christmas carols. Next up, we've got a little company that'll protect your family. Let's say they get through that Haven Mac after 50 kicks, and you got to blow a motherfucker away.
That's some Tartarus ordnance, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's TartarusOrdnance.com. TartarusOrdnance.com, a.k.a. I wish a motherfucker would. It is for all your home defense ammunition needs. They Hell also yeah. sell it at tactical classes, and they also deal firearms.
Well, the dope thing about them is because they do have their standard ammunition, and they do reloads as well, and like shooting like a tactical class or whatever you want to do, whatever course of fire you want to do, like if you're shooting within like 15 meters, you don't really need ammunition. That's going to be great. You're just like, hey man, hit the silhouette. Like, let's be cost effective with all this.
Yeah,
I mean, if we're trying to shoot sub MOA here and like get a shot group put together,
exactly,
you're gonna buy their good shit. But they have a lot of options, which is cool.
Yep. And look, you type in the promo code Drinking Bros, you get 10% off everything. That's firearms. That's bullets. That's all the shit they have.
Registered FFL as well.
Yeah. They're the fucking best. Kenny Gunter and the boys, big fans. Next up, we got WarfighterTobacco.com. Warfighter Tobacco. God damn it. I don't want to say that they're the greatest cigars ever hand-rolled in the entire history of the world, but I am going to say that.
You're going to go for it?
You might as well say
it's almost as if you took the original pages from the Bible, you ripped them out, and then you hand-rolled cigars out of them, and that's what you were smoking. You're smoking Ezekiel 25:17, the path of the righteous man. Is that right?
Right? I mean, I'm not going to agree to that, but it sounds intriguing.
I'm not a theologist. I'm not biblical. But I can tell you that they're the finest goddamn cigars in the land, and you will see God when you smoke them.
All right. Okay.
You will see God when you smoke them.
I'll pick up what you're putting down. You know, well, Timmy and shit, roll me in breadcrumbs.
Welcome to the Gingerbread House, kids. Go to warfightertobacco.com for all your cigar needs. Put down the hookah and get a fucking cigar, my man. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of every order. These guys are 100% combat veteran owned, and they've got cigars that are hand rolled in Dominican Republic, Maine with the finest Cubano seeds.
Rocco's obsessed, you know.
I know we all are, and they've got some Drinking Bros cigars right now on their sites,
limited
edition that are for sale, and they're dope as fuck. We put them on my Instagram at stjames, because Jared's always promoing his fucking Instagram,
right? At JT always. Article 15.
Yeah, it was one time. There was one episode.
Jared, you were lying on the floor. What's that song?
Lying on the floor. Something like that. Mm-hmm. I forget what that song is.
I'm gonna treat you like a lionfish and eradicate you.
I can't even hear
it's
this.
Super,
tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, you might as well be Rosa Parks. You're way in the back of the bus tonight on this. Next up, we got At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. Can I get a horse cry out of you? God damn it. I was almost like, we pay for it in Hollywood.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I normally.
Textbook.
It's I like the sound effects, you know? Might have done them in Range 15. Who knows? I don't know. But I'll do them for
you
your book.
You did a lot of the sound effects.
Yeah,
in
and
Range
I appreciate
15.
It. Look, kids, if you want the finest, funniest piece of literature ever written, you got to pick up a nice shirt, guys, while he rides a steed. Do I live on the edge? Yes. Do I write on the edge? Of course I do.
Anybody that listens to the show religiously, they've heard this almost 100 times at this point. If you don't have the book, come
you're a loser.
On.
You're a
come
fucking
on.
Loser. You're a
come
fucking.
On.
You're Colin Kaepernick. You're a fucking loser. I'm gonna move in the house here, so we can hear Jared Taylor.
Yeah, right? We're gonna.
I'm actually gonna step over him. We were actually recording out on a deck.
I feel like instead of
Jared's
like,
laying on the floor because he literally you're on the stage of blackout drunk at this
could,
point.
You could sit on the bed and then we got an extra chair.
Yeah,
I feel like instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger with Mobile Strike, we're mobile podcasts tonight.
Yeah, I mean, literally,
we're standing over Jared right now.
You can't see it, and the cords are all over him.
I'm gonna take
Matt,
a photo
can you take
for
a photo
Instagram.
And put up on,
yeah.
on, our,
have a photo.
On our thing because this is some goddamn embarrassing shit.
right here. I mean, it is fucking insanity what we're dealing with here.
We run a show called Drinking Bros. It's what we're supposed to do.
I have a feeling. Not fucking Sleeping Bros. It's Drinking Bros.
Yeah,
Jared.
I almost feel
sleeping.
Like you're in hospice right now. We're visiting you. We're visiting you on your last stages. Because you've had some Thai food. You've had about a bottle of Tito's today.
Yeah.
You're all puffed out. You're all puffed up now.
You're looking a little puffy. I'm puffy, but you're looking puffy.
I think it's the shirt.
Blame the
this
shirt.
This shirt is sized a little differently than most
shirts. You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
It wasn't like it came from the Baby Gap. They made that shirt just for you. It is the proper size.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys shift? You sit there.
What if we want to sit on top of you and look down like we're fucking angels on your looking drunken
Thai filled
body.
At our little baby who's dying, because this is what it is.
I'm not dying.
You're not dying. Have you ever been close to death before?
I don't think so.
Come on. In all your duties overseas, you've never fucking...
Well, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, okay, because I'm going to be honest. Right now, you look like this is the end. This is the end. Beautiful friends, the end.
That's The Doors, by the way.
Yes, it is.
I know The Doors. Snoop Dogg did a remake.
Of This Is the End?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. Somebody fact-check that.
No, absolutely. Snoop Dogg did this. Snoop Dogg the
Somebody
End.
Fact-check
Snoop
that.
Snoop Doggy Dogg. He sampled the Doors, and Snoop Dogg has a song.
Since we're on it, let's go to this, because I've had this debate with other people. I think The Chronic by Dr. Dre, followed up by Doggy Style by Snoop, were the two greatest single-handedly hip-hop
Chronic
albums.
Chronic or
of
Chronic 2001?
Chronic 2001
no.
was a good
original Chronic.
CD.
Original Chronic.
Dude, Chronic
original
2001
Chronic
might have beat
Doggy
it out.
Style.
Doggy Style is amazing. I might
Those two back-to-back, I think, changed the world.
Yeah, but if you look at Chronic 2001, Dre introduced Eminem, which is, I personally, am my
he
own
did.
Thing, the greatest rapper of all time.
Yes.
So
you think Chronic 2001 was the best?
I mean... Chronic. It put him on the map. I mean, it's legendary. But 2001 was like when I got into hip hop, and it was like
Eminem's nickname became the Grat.
Yeah. If it was up to me, you motherfuckers stop coming up to me. You know, that was my jam, dude. That was my fucking jam.
Yeah. See, I still roll Chronic. The original Chronic album is I'm gonna go ahead on a limb and say this. That was the greatest hip hop album of all time, front to back.
That's a bold statement, Cotton.
Because you could listen,
statement.
Every song on that to me was fucking brilliant front to back. And there's not a lot of albums that I listen to front to back where I'm like, oh shit, I am genuinely impressed by every single song over and over and over again. And then Doggy Style came out and I felt the exact same way.
You know what I feel like with albums, like back in the day in 90s and even well before then in the 70s and 80s, like albums were written as like, the album front to back was a story, right? It's almost like a film.
Yep.
Whereas now the like production studios and all that go.
They work
I want a hit.
Single.
I want a love song.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of 8 songs that are trash,
that
so we can sell this.
Nobody cares about.
Right. So we can sell it for $9.99 because you go to Lady Gaga album, you're like, oh, I love that dance song. Let me buy 9 other songs of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I think that's where it is right now, and that's where it's headed. The only way you can change that is if you take the top of the game. I think Taylor Swift does it differently. I think all of her songs are fucking hits.
She's part of the writing process, so that helps
exactly.
out.
But I think you would need Taylor Swift, Drake, Eminem, all of them to come together and literally be like, hey, guys, I'm going to make the greatest album like they used to make and not just go for hits, because they have enough power at this point that nobody's going to stop them from being like, no, we need a single. Eminem would be like, fuck you, bro. I'm giving you an album. You can do whatever you want with it.
He might be a little different now. I mean, like, because a lot of his albums represent like what he's going through in life. That's why I'm a huge Eminem fan. Like, even when he went to Relapse before Recovery, like, dude, that was the darkest album and it flopped. But I loved it because he did songs like My Mom, 3 AM.
Bagpipes Over Baghdad. Because I read an interview with him and he said that was my worst album and I knew it. Is that true?
I'm not too sure. I mean, when he came out there, the reason I think he says that in retrospect, at least he was like talking about he thought he figured the game out where he's like, I can go as weird and as crazy as I want and people are going to buy my shit. So I think that was his humbling moment. And then when he came back with Recovery if you watch anybody that listens to Eminem, like, I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
That whole album crushed because he was like, he had a self epiphany like, fuck, people are only going to like me if my shit's good.
Was Rap God on that?
No, Rap God was on his next one.
Gotcha.
That was, he did the song with Rihanna, I Love the Way You Lie and all that.
Yeah, it was a huge
album for him.
Yeah, yeah. He's done a few with Rihanna that are good.
Yeah, he did the Monster.
I like that one with Lil Wayne too. That didn't blow up the way I thought it would. No Love.
Yeah,
you
No Love.
No Love.
No Love.
Yeah. Cause it's Wayne doing the first verse.
Yeah.
M doing the second verse. M houses him. I mean, just fucking.
There's no comparison.
No, I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah.
And that, you know, at the time, I remember people were saying, oh, these are the two best rappers
I'm
alive.
Again, more alive than I've ever been. Yeah, I know that whole fucking verse, dude.
Because it just keeps ramping up. So it keeps going in that verse for Eminem, and you're like, oh, shit.
Right.
Whereas Lil Wayne's very slow, very regimented, very, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's why Eminem, like, he writes stories, and that's why I'm a fan. Like, it's almost like people that are into film. Like,
same.
You can get that cut shot comedy where, like, it's catchy, you like this, but, like, Eminem writes, like, fucking stories.
Chronicles.
So, you, like, from front to back, like, yeah. There's one he did, it was Beautiful Pain. Like, if you listen to that song, you're like, holy fuck, he talks about struggle, and then, you know, the second part of the song is kind of, like, how he's going to change his life, and the third part is just, like, fuck it, dude, let's just be us, and it's dope. Like, I love the message in this shit, so.
Yeah.
I'm an Eminem fan. If you didn't catch that, Ross.
No. You're a fan.
Not at all.
You're a fan.
No. Hi, my name is.
I know.
Matt.
My name is. Yeah. No. I get it. Look, Eminem's fucking awesome. Let me ask you, Jared. Front to back, what was the last album that you enjoyed every single song on it, front to back, that you just didn't stop?
Like, recently.
It could be any time. Because in my life, I remember the first one for me in my life that was in my time. Was The Chronic and then Doggy Style, where it was like, oh my God, I loved every single album on it back to back. If I went back in history, I could listen to Stones albums, Rolling Stones, yeah. All that shit. Like Exile on Main Street's amazing later, but I didn't grow up during that.
Yeah.
Whereas I can go and listen to, it's weird, I can go and listen to all the 60s and 70s bands, and they had amazing albums front to back, but in our generation, I can only name a handful that were front to back. Is there anyone for you?
It was the first one was Sum 41's second album, the one that had Pieces on it.
Sum 41,
like No Leash or something.
Yeah,
like
No
that.
Leash.
I don't.
That one was great.
How did I pull that out of my ass?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I.
No, it's the one.
Sum 41. That's who you're going. Derek Weebly, is that his name?
Second,
I don't know. He dated Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, they were married.
I think it came out in 2004. I was TDY to Salt Lake City, and I bought the CD in the airport on the way there. So when we got into the rental car, I threw it in, and it was like, that was great, front to back. More released recently, new Blink album.
I knew you were going to say it.
The new Blink album.
Hold on, I'm going to call you out on that.
I know.
Because you didn't like
it. I hated it.
You hated it, and I was like, it's not a bad album.
First run through, I hated it. I texted him, I was like, this is garbage. This is fucking garbage.
What changed your mind?
When we drove from... El Paso to Salt Lake. We kept listening to it.
So I think Jared, like,
Blink lost a member, right, on this album?
Yes.
Tom.
So who filled in for Tom?
It's the shit. He has another band similar, never as big as Blink, but they were I'm sorry.
Big. Yeah.
All right.
Whoever's listening right now is like, you fucking idiots. He's pretty good, but
actually we do this all the time on Drinker Bros.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Look, you have a few drinks and you can't remember.
Don't punch me. I don't know what his name is, but don't punch me in the face. I'll
So what's the name of this album, Jared?
California.
Okay, California. And you think, because I know you're a huge Blink fan, and all of the albums, do you think this is one of their best? Where would you rank this as far as Blink albums?
It progresses, though. Like, Blink has always done great at progression. Like, if you start at Cheshire Cat, you move to
Matt
Dude
Skiba.
Ramp. Yeah, Matt Skiba.
Okay.
You move to Dude Ranch. You then go to Enema State. Like Cheshire Cat was kind of their breakout album, and then Dude Ranch... They pulled it together and kind of built their image.
Right.
Enema of the State, like, sealed their image. Like, oh, shit, you guys stepped this up. That was 12 amazing, amazing songs. And then after that, you had Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. And then you went to the Mark, Tom, and Travis Show, which that's my favorite. Like, if I'm going to listen to something from front to back, it's Mark, Tom, and Travis Show.
This is like the obscure reference show where, like, I talked about Eminem and Weird Al, and Jared's got this locked down. I'm like, it's
then,
funny.
But I like this because, look, there's a lot of people at home who listen to shit. Everybody listens to music at home, and it's like they don't know too much about our musical choices.
Right.
So I think this is interesting.
You know what?
I went to get in line, like, to buy self-titled in 2003. So I thought, like, there was going to be a line at Best Buy. For the release
at midnight,
and there wasn't. Yeah, I walked in. I was the only one there. I bought two copies of it and then walked out.
On Sunset, there was a Tower Records. I write some music. Obviously, I write, you know, 6 days a week. Like, and I used to wait in lines at midnight for my favorite band to get new shit, where I was like, oh, man, can't wait to get this. And there was other people in line. Everybody was amped about it. In my life, I would say in the last 10 years, album-wise, that I thought were great front to back, Kanye's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was amazing. And then I would say a new one came out about 2 weeks ago, Bon Iver. Bon Iver's new album
I didn't even know who that is.
Absolutely incredible. He only makes an album like once every 5 years.
Oh, shit. All
yeah,
right.
His last album.
Is he a hip-hop artist? Or?
No. He's alternative. Like, he sings like love songs.
That's funny, man. Like,
Skinny Love. There was a song he had. Come on, Skinny Love. Let me sing it.
It's like, always weird when people always say, like, what your favorite band is. Like, I'm so across the board. Like, this year, like, Cruella, My Ammunition, that they just dropped. Like, I'm a huge fan of that album because it's like, they actually wrote that album as a progression. It starts of like super confidence and it goes through a breakup in every single song.
Right.
And it's fucking dope, man. I'm just like, that's super cool.
I'm not
cool.
A fan of their manager.
Cruella?
Yeah.
What
girls
happened?
Seem nice.
I got into it in emails with him. He's just a fucking dick.
Well, right. Well, I like
that's Jared. Yeah, that's Jared. Has nothing
well,
to do with
here's, here's Well, here's a good music story. We saw one day some band on Twitter had said, it had just tweeted us, like, R15, we love your stuff. I'd never heard of them. I just looked it up, like, looked up their Facebook. They had 100,000 plus followers. Like,
really?
Oh, these are, let me find them on iTunes.
What's the name of their band?
It's Everyone Dies in Utah. I bought both their albums, listened to them all the way through. I loved them. Now they're about to come out with a new album, and they just did a music video the other day. I put it up in Drinking Bros, and everyone was like, who is this?
Yeah, so I will say that. So when I was scoring Range 15 with a music supervisor, a guy named Chris Tarantino, he writes for one of the music editors for Time Out magazine in New York. Great music. He's great taste. Has great musical taste. He turned me on to a band called the Dexateens, and again, hadn't heard of them. And I hooked me up with their manager, or whatever, and was like, "Hey, you know, Southern rock, support the troops, everything." And I got a nice vinyl care package in the mail of five of their albums on vinyl, and I was like, "Oh, fuck,
holy shit!"
Yeah, and dude, two of them front to back were absolutely unbelievable. And that was, you know, last year when we were doing this, but so the Dexateens was my new one, where I was like, "Fuck, here's a brand new band. They're Southern rock." They're not brand new.
Like
they're
hard
old.
Rock or like
Southern rock, like Black Crowes.
Which song did we use from them?
We used one in the trailer of the movie. It was in the body of the trailer. So there was three songs. The first one was Score. Second one was Dexateens.
First one was Adam Smith, my buddy from Pennsylvania.
Yes, correct. Yeah, yeah. And then the one in the trailer. I mean, I'm sorry. The one in the credits for the movie, called Caption.
Oh, okay.
If there was a caption.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a dope song.
It's a great song.
Hey,
it felt like it was specifically written for our film.
Right, it's crazy.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's been almost 60 days since I've seen the movie. Possibly more.
That's good.
That is good.
I watched it, I think, probably 300 times.
It was close. Yeah, it was up in the 200s.
Yeah, and I'd tell you what, we'll put, as a favorite of the band, because we used, there was another song in the movie we used theirs as well. We'll put the Dexateens caption song at the end of this episode.
Oh, there you go.
So stay tuned to the end of the episode. It's one of our favorites from Range 15. It's the credits song, and it was an awesome band, totally unexpected and out of nowhere. Where I was like, oh shit, this was dope. Like, I'm looking to try to find where they're playing. They haven't played anywhere near me, but I like finding fun, exciting bands that I don't know.
You remember right after we rapped, I ran into the guy that sang the love song that you got.
Oh my God, Baby Come Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I hear that everywhere.
I know.
In like department stores and like restaurants. And I'm like, God damn.
It's funny because I knew that song growing up. And we're like,
I
was like, there's no way I know Baby Come Back. Like, how the fuck would we ever get that in the movie? And then the band name, I was like, okay, I've never heard of the band that
did
that.
One Hit Wonder.
What was the name of the band?
God.
I'll go back Weston, to the Google machine.
Yeah.
Weston knows because Weston was like, hey, that's the singer for that song that you guys have in your movie.
You hung out with a singer, physically took a picture of him. You don't know the name of their band.
I know. I just took the picture with him to send to you.
It's called like The Forgottens.
That night I met Montel Williams' daughter.
I've
got a picture of it.
Montel Williams' daughter.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's something you brag about. Yeah.
Montel.
Yeah. Montel.
You watch your Montel.
Player.
Yes. Yeah. Players. The name of that band.
Baby, come back.
Yeah. Baby, come back.
I love that song.
You can blame it all on me. I thought it was Hall & Oates.
No.
Before. And I was like, we can't get Hall & Oates. And then they were like, no, it's a band called The Player. And I was like, Player. All right, cool. So. Doing the music contracts for that, musicians, if they're having tough times in life, they sell off part of their catalogs.
Right.
So like this song was split up four different ways. I had to get eight different contracts for that song. And somebody owned 16% of that song in like Memphis, Tennessee. So I had to get this dude to sign a contract at his fucking house for that song. Took me 3 months. Awful. Awful shit. But it's one of those songs that's iconic, and everybody who hears it's like, holy shit.
That's just the Denver ambulance going
by. We got a little Denver PD out there. Yeah. Doors are open.
Doors open.
They're out there being players.
Harambe, a coup.
We did sing
Is that
Harambe,
up yet?
A
Is
coup.
That up yet?
No, it's not. By the time this episode airs, it'll be up. Yeah, a little Harambe.
Harambe.
That'll be up. I got a new song coming out in November. You guys have some new music coming out too, right?
We do. We just wrote one downstairs that we won't talk about, but
I think we wrote two today. Actually.
So good, yeah.
I got that one earlier.
Yeah,
that was a good riff too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like it. What? You're lying down. You had a hard weekend.
Yeah. Well,
you tapped out, JT.
I'm not tapped out. I just comfy.
Yeah, lying on the floor. I mean, just
lying on the floor.
You look like you're in your second trimester at this
point. No, I don't.
Yeah.
That Thai food, it's the shirt.
That's a solid 6 months of pregnancy.
It's the shirt cut. God damn it.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it is.
Pull it down. We'll be fine.
I'm sure it is. What? When you were growing up, what was your favorite clothing store? Were you an Oaktown guy? Were you an Oaktown 357 guy?
I went to Zoomies, bro. I wanted, like, if you owned a Stussy shirt, you were cool.
Ah, Stussy. All right. Yeah. I can get behind Stussy. Did you have some Zubaz pants with that?
No, I got some Jankos.
Oh, yeah? No Zubaz?
No, just some Jankos.
I could see you using some Z Cavaricis,
like,
too.
I only had one. I had one olive Stussy shirt. Like, because it went No Fear and then Stussy.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the hyper color?
What about it?
Did you ever have those?
No, I didn't.
You breathe on the shirt and it changes different.
No, I did not. I didn't have
different shit.
A mood ring?
No. Yeah. It looked like a mood ring. You breathe on the shirt and change colors. What about you, Matt? Who was your jam growing up?
Dude, I mean, I didn't dress myself, really. I just had hand-me-downs probably until I was like a junior.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't give a fuck. So I will, admittedly, when I first joined the military, I would spike my hair tall and I would wear Hollister.
No.
I am sorry. But I'd walk by Abercrombie and be like, "Yeah, you fucking bitch," and then I'd go into Hollister. So I don't know what my reasoning was back then. Like,
right.
Fuck Abercrombie, but I'm going to Hollister because that's cool. I like seagulls on my fucking clothes. I have no idea.
I was an Abercrombie.
I could see that. Yeah.
Well, in the South, I'm from Georgia, so it was like that was a big. Abercrombie was the takeover.
What is
then?
The contemporary version of like Abercrombie and Hollister these days? Are they still?
Yeah,
in existence?
There's a couple. There's a store called Buckle. That's got some cooler shit.
I got a Buckle store.
Yeah, you got a Buckle store. Abercrombie's going through some tough times. They've closed a lot of their stores.
I'd imagine it's kind of. I bet the investors in that started the new ones. I'd be interested to see what kind of like company profile they have.
I know
there's no way they just dissolved.
I know they were trying to sell at one point. Because the stock fell apart. And I know
is there
like
a parent company that owns.
Abercrombie and Fitch. I forget who it is. I know it's out of Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, well, yes.
Wow, Columbus.
Yeah.
I know that.
And then I would say, God, I mean, in a strange way, like fucking Gap. Gap has kind of taken over that mid-range where it's like, all right, this is shit that's kind of cool and it's cheaper.
Well, you know
what
it is, too, which a lot of women, H&M. That's the jam, and that's been crushing.
I like H&M.
Dude, when girls, if I date them, they go to H&M, I'm like, fuck yeah, you paid $7 for a long sleeve, and you look good as fuck in it.
Hell yeah. Dude, I will say this. H&M, growing up, was my go-to, like, hey, I need something cheap but cool-looking so nobody knows, so you can get, like, black button-ups, all kinds of shit. And it's for whatever reason, it's super fucking cheap, but it looks good, and especially, like, in New York City, that's your go-to. Because otherwise, you're going to get fucked at, like,
right,
the
you know, specialty
Hugo Boss
stores.
Yeah,
for,
yeah, all that shit.
Hey, $1,800 for a jacket. Like,
and
who the fuck has that money?
H&M works just as well.
Abercrombie,
works just as well in a pinch.
Stuff. Like, you guys are speaking Greece. Like, I never got out of Zoomies. I would just buy Zoo York and Element stuff.
Zoo York,
by the way.
Zoo York, Element.
I talked to their founder and owner on Instagram all the time. He gave me his email and stuff.
Really?
Because I was interested, like, about 5-6 months ago. I was just like, dude, I have a clothing brand now. Like, I would love to hear your story. I bet I could learn shit from you because you started this out of your garage, you know, created this brand that then became in Zoomies everywhere and all these skaters love Zoo York. All my sweatshirts, everything growing up was all Zoo York.
Oh, really?
And he was like, bro, I looked you guys up. Like, you guys are fucking legit. He's like, yeah, man. Fucking, here's my email. Hit me up.
Of course, that's how it is.
Well, me and Bucky had a long conversation about Zoo York and kind of how the skateboard culture kind of.
But by the way, for the audience at home, he's referencing Bucky Lasik, skateboarding extraordinaire.
Yeah, so like where the whole sport as a whole, like was at the high end in 2003, 2004, 2005. X Games was huge,
right?
And then you just haul this die off. And it slowly came off. And what brands survived? What pros survived? You know,
I see you as like a Vans guy.
No,
I was never. Did you have Vans? Did you do that?
I had Etnies. I was Enterprises. So America, Etnies, and S. Like, you have to stay with the E.
Oh yeah, that was you.
Yeah, because I mean, Etnies.
You were literally trapped in 2004.
Yeah,
it's cute.
You've never escaped it. You've never escaped it.
Don't want to leave it.
By the way, speaking of X Games, I know we were talking about this at lunch today. Shaun White,
yeah,
dropping off the face of the fucking planet in X Games. What do you think it is? Is he too old?
I don't know, man. I think
maybe he's just tired and doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I think like
what's another gold medal?
Here's the thing: he lost in the Olympics and then fucking disappeared. Hasn't been back in an X Games or anything.
Well, I think a guy like that.
He's in a band, actually.
That sounds
fun. He's getting sued for sexual harassment. That's not fun.
Oh, that's not
fun. He had a female drummer, and he was blasting with dick pics.
Really?
No, dead serious, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I think a guy like that, man, like, your progression of a career, like, in that kind of sport, and we were talking about this earlier, like snowboarding or, like, those extreme sports, motocross, like, the payoff of what you get monetarily and whatever is significantly low compared to the risk you take. Like, do it, like, people are like, oh, do a double fucking backflip on a bike, like a fucking motocross bike. You fuck that trick up, you are 9 months in the hospital.
Yeah.
If you don't die.
Yeah.
So it's like guys like Travis Pastrana and all them and Shaun White. I like the utmost respect because I'm like, I would never take that risk to my body because I'm more of like a conservative. Like, yeah, if I have to fucking shoot someone in the face to protect my family, obviously I'm going to do that. But like, I don't really feel like doing 9 backflips in the air because I could be at home fucking making sure I can provide. But cheers to them. And I would imagine that at some point he was like, okay, I didn't get that gold. I didn't get the accolades that I wanted. Well, he's got plenty of golds, but like
right. The
last one. And he's just like, I'm going to check out. I'm going to go do me for a little bit, which is awesome.
You know what's weird that you say that? Because he had a huge crash. And I don't know if you remember. I think he was trying to do like a 1280 or a 900, whatever the fuck it is. And he bounced his head off the fucking.
The lip, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It went, bam. Yeah.
And after that, it was all fucking downhill for him. Like, He ended up winning that race and getting back in it. But after that, he looked too scared to do the shit that he was typically doing.
I've got
some
data for you.
Okay.
So he has 2 Olympic gold medals. He holds the X Games record for gold medals, highest overall medal count.
He does.
And has 10 ESPY awards. So at this point, it's like, what the fuck? Like, why?
How old is he?
Why? He's
young.
You're younger than me. He's 30.
He's 30.
Yeah, my
he's
age.
30 years old. And if memory serves me, he started at 14.
Yeah.
I think his first X Games was 14. He's technically been in the sport for 16
well,
years.
Dude, and you look at like the
So
career.
It's like, why? What is another medal going
to
do?
I guess, but why not retire and say goodbye to everybody rather than just vanish, I guess?
No, because you have circumstances like, you know, I'm a huge MMA fan. You like the Chuck Liddells and stuff. If, you know, you get that one brutal, brutal KO where you get knocked out. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to like. Do you want to walk back in? You have that. You're just like, I'm done, man. I'm cool. Let me check that box because, let me fucking be a half. Can't even think how I used to, or like support my family and be present in life for the next 40 years. I hope to live. So
yeah, because
you never know.
You look at Ronda Rousey's coming back to fight. By the way,
she is.
She's
I know
coming back.
Nunez, dog.
I know. I believe it's December 30th.
Yeah, 206. I believe she's fighting right after Madison Square Garden.
Exactly. And that was one of the most vicious knockouts, man or woman, that I've ever seen. I'm surprised she's coming back.
I think she's that's the only time she's taking that type of hit. She'll be fine. I've seen like the Chuck Liddell Rashad Evans knockout was fucking brutal. The Dan Henderson Bisping one knockout was fucking brutal. So you see people come back, you don't know what their durability is, but like it's you start checking that box when you take fucking TBIs and brain concussions like that. Oh, look at the NFL, yeah. The studies they do. It's yeah. It's nasty.
So
man.
Within the last month, we've had Nate Wessel come and visit us out in Salt Lake, who was a professional BMXer, and he builds all the ramps for Nitro Circus and Camp Woodwork.
Right. Did he build Sean's by any chance? Sean White?
Did he build his ramp?
He's got a half pipe.
Probably. I mean, we can ask him.
Yeah.
There's only like two big builders.
And I'll get to why I'm asking you this after this story.
But dual conversations with Bucky Lasik being here and hanging out with him and then having Nate out here. And then we were in Vegas with Mike Escamilla, the rooftop, the BMXer. Like, we've all been talking about Dave Mira. And
yeah.
And it was funny because just, on the plane.
By the way, yeah. Who just killed himself.
So Bucky's flight.
He's a legend in the BMX world.
From
yeah,
LA, from San Diego to here, he watched the movie Concussion for the first time. And he was like, dude, I've been wanting to watch it. But it's like, that's all of us are convinced that this is what happened to Mira. Which is funny because Wessel said, no kidding, 2 days before he did it, Dave was on the phone with
him
booking,
himself, right?
Booking flight, yes.
Yeah.
Booking flights to come see Nate or go do something with Nate. So he's like, why the fuck was he planning a trip with me?
Yeah, and the circumstances around that, like he was in his pickup truck, he drove somewhere and then just killed himself.
That is literally the opening of Concussion.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what happened to Dave.
And those are like actual mental health issues that need to be addressed. And I think that like,
but does he know?
No. It's physical health issues. Like he has so many concussions, over 300 concussions.
No. I know they're physical. It's not a mental health. I'm saying the physical detriment that he went through has the mental, like it changes your mental thinking processes.
Yeah,
so it's like, look at through the NFL and all the studies that they've been doing with like, you see people set OJ Simpson, all that shit. Like there's a lot like linear avenues that come back to one thing. Like, brain concussions and brain injuries are, and same with veterans, right? It's like they'll blame it on PTSD, you know, that's in its own right, but there's a lot there to be said about TBI and brain injury, where like pain management and a lot of other things you can do, like neurology, like that's what we need to focus on studying, because you can save people's lives and try to at least get them in a better place. And you know, I ain't a fucking I ain't a doctor, man.
But
there's a lot of studies that are starting to come out, and I think it's awesome, because then we can hopefully save people's lives that are, you know, doing extreme sports and creating these, you know, entertainment worlds for us and also serving our country. Like, if all those avenues kind of brought their technology together and their research, then let's try to find some way to help these dudes out.
There's too much money in the NFL. They paid them off. They just did a $750 million concussion fund, if you will, to fund off all the players who were suing from all over the years. X Games has zero of that. Like they, you know, I don't even know if they have a union whatsoever. Yeah, so there's no protocol on that. And those guys are going bigger, harder, faster, stronger every day. And it's like, I mean, they're getting real fucked up.
I think they don't take many hits. Like NFL dudes are getting fucking cracked, but they take bigger hits because you go fucking 25 feet up in the air on a half pipe and you land on your head with the fucking soft shell helmet. Good night. Good night.
Exactly. And this brings me back to my Sean White thing earlier. Was he's one of the only snowboarders ever who's had a half pipe built at his place, at his house, so he could personally train on it.
Right.
He was very Jordan-esque. He didn't let any other athletes train with him because he didn't want them stealing his shit, and he wanted all the practice time for himself, knowing that everybody else had to go to a mountain, pay, and then do it themselves, and then do it in public and try to train. But I wonder how many hits he took by himself trying out, testing new tricks. Because if you think about it, snowboarding, there is no training grounds that is helpful with that you couldn't get hurt on. But it, like Travis Pastrana, for example, he's doing tricks, goes into a foam pit.
No, but even that, like, so, like, and I, it's funny you reference that. Even if you were to talk about like motocross guys that do foam pits, like a lot of times they'll do backflips, drop the bike, and even the foam pit, they knock themselves out all the fucking time
in the foam.
Pits, all the time.
I didn't know that.
Because that bike bounces back. You're not getting the bodily injury of like, hey, I broke my fucking arm, but there's still a bike that is getting stopped in about 6 feet of foam and snapping back on you.
Shit.
They knock themselves out all the fucking time.
Wow.
And I don't know if we can talk about this thing, but
we're friends with Travis Pastrana.
He actually released that video. You can talk about that now. He knocked
himself. Go ahead. Yeah, tell the audience.
Making a
video for
us,
man. He was saying, "What up, Art 15 crew?" Did a backflip in the pit, and then his slammed on his bike and knocked himself out and got a pretty bad concussion.
So take Travis, top of his game, best in the sport,
and the coolest motherfucker. He's
exactly
awesome.
How many concussions has he had?
Jesus, I don't even know.
No one, yeah,
right?
I don't want to know.
How do you stay normal after that? Because you take Dave Mira, who was beloved by everybody. To my knowledge, everybody I've spoken to was like nicest guy there was, genuine, awesome, fucking, you know, helping out young kids who wanted to do BMX, and then just to suddenly drive off because he's got kids. He used to do this thing for dads on his Instagram, you know, just showing what a great dad and what it means to be a dad on Instagram. He would post pictures of his kids and things like that. And then all of a sudden, one night, boom, he drives out into the middle of nowhere, pulls the trigger, and blows his brains out for seemingly no reason. Like, I guess what's to stop anybody else from doing that? Like, shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, so you got to kind of analyze the data and, like, hopefully come to a – I don't know. There's so many different things you could talk about on that, but
– I know. It's just it's one of those things.
It's a tragedy, like, you know?
It is.
I don't know the answer to it.
And you look at, you know, some of the guys in the NFL, like Brett Favre or Travis Pastrana and X Games, like, there's a lot of sports that are getting more and more dangerous. And then especially for
because
ratings.
You have to go bigger.
You have
to compete.
You have to for ratings. I mean, fuck, I saw this guy about 2 months ago who was going for the longest jump over fucking cars and a BMX bike and ate it. I mean, fucking completely ate it. Hand over body, broken hand or whatever. But it was live TV. And that's the aspect of live TV where you're like, all right, shit, what do you do now? And the guy you can tell was fucked up, but he was like, I'm gonna go one more time. You know, my dad is here. And it was just like, not only is your dad here, but there's a million people watching. And then he got back up, completed the trick, and then they had this interview with him. He was gone
mentally. I didn't think that, like, look at motocross, right? I think they do triple backflips right now. Yeah. Is that, didn't someone land a triple backflip? So.
Somebody's landed a triple.
I believe so, because Travis how do you even
attempt that for the first time?
And, like, dude, but you're going so high and so violent on that twist, like, there's no salvaging that. It's not like, let me PLF, let me parachute landing, follow this fucking pair. Like, you're eating bike. You're breaking a bone if you
don't
land
with
that.
One of these crazy motherfuckers tomorrow night, Gavin Godfrey.
Oh, yeah?
I'm rolling over to his house once we get back into town.
What does he do?
He's one of the Nitro Circus motocross guys.
Okay.
Biker and motocross.
Talk to them. I would ask him the question, how many concussions do you think he's had?
Yeah, that would be good.
Try to find out where he's at on that, because a lot of people don't know. Look, NFL players get right back in the game, and that's shit. They play the rest of the game like nothing happened, and it's like it's something that'll catch up to you years later, not now. Kind of like you, Jared. You've had enough vodka tonight that
I feel like you're ready for a nap.
It's not going to kill you today.
I think it's ready for a Drinking Bros of the night.
I got the Drinking Bro of the week.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Why are you rubbing your belly like that when you say that?
God, look, the audience can't see it. He's rubbing his belly like we're at Jellystone National Park. Yogi the Bear. Man.
I love picnic baskets.
I know you do.
With hot dogs.
Pooh, you remind me of Winnie the Pooh. We should get you a tiny little red shirt that barely fits. And then we can get you.
We're here talking about fucking injuries and TBI and this, and he's over here like Shamu the Whale.
I know,
fucking,
but we can get your tattoo guy to fucking stitch him up in the back, put some stitches on his back like Winnie.
Yeah.
And just put him in a half red shirt. Yeah, Jared the Pooh.
Jared the Pooh.
Is that a new nickname now?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Jared the Pooh. Just getting his little head stuck in honey pots.
Honey pots. I just want some honey.
I just want some honey.
Some honey.
Rabbit. Rabbit's out. Pooh.
He goes.
Stop eating my.
Come in this. Some of this.
I don't know how you guys whisper molasses. That's so good.
Sweet. Some of that sweet mahogany.
Birchwood.
Some of that birchwood.
Birchwood.
All right, Jared. Birchwood. Who is the Drinking Bro of the week?
The Drinking Bro of the week. We'll go two. two of them, Nate Wessel and Mike Escamilla, who are right now overseas in Qatar and Kuwait and Baghdad, doing the Bikes Over Baghdad tour for the troops.
That's dope, man.
Two good friends of ours. We love them.
Yeah.
They're awesome. It's cool that they still do this. Like,
that's amazing.
Go over and perform. Like, because they do it all within one day. They show up in the morning. Nate builds the ramps by hand with the tools that the troops give him. And then they put on a BMX road show in the evening once he's got a park built.
You know, and I'm glad. And so cheers to them, first of all.
Okay. Cheers.
And then, you know, and I'm also glad we have friends like that so they could build Jared maybe like a wheelchair ramp.
Right, to get something to get him fucking home.
Because on nights like this,
fuck,
it
man.
Is.
I'm struggling over here.
Wow. Mate, I'm sorry.
I'm backed out of a sliding door, glass door with a fucking chair outside looking at this shit.
We've worked our way around Fat Brando here at this point, so he can lay on
you
the
literally,
floor.
What the fuck this is
you
Fat
literally
Brando?
Decided you,
like
you did not want to do
Dr.
The,
Moreau.
He didn't want to do the fucking podcast, so we walked in, both of us, to watch you like a beached whale.
I just thought I
we're
thought,
over you right now.
Yeah,
like we're literally
just,
standing on top
I
of you, looking
down
at you.
It was a good touch for the show. One of us should have at least done it from the floor.
I can't. I can't even.
He's touching your leg. Like
I
he
know.
Doesn't even know his
now
arm.
You're touching my leg.
I'm sorry.
You were pooing yourself, like rubbing your belly, and now you're touching my leg as if I'm going to sympathize with your situation.
Come on.
Like, I watched you drink an entire bottle of Tito's on a Sunday. On a Sunday. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but Jesus, man,
yeah.
we've got shows to do. You know,
I just wanted to be there for the drink.
Well, for Jared,
for Jared, Tyler's and Tierra's Taylor, Jared Pooh Bear Taylor.
That's not Pooh Bear.
Pooh, we're gonna call you Pooj, P-O-J.
Jared the human centipede
Pooj.
Taylor.
Pooj,
Pooj, dude.
Pooj.
We got fucking Winnie the Pooj down here lying on the floor, dude. Just rolling around. You were rolling around on a carpet. Of an Airbnb. I mean,
Winnie the Pooj.
Just Pooj, dude. Pooj Taylor. This. Look, I'm surprised anybody's still around right now.
Yeah, if you're still listening, it's awesome.
God bless.
Thank you for being loyal. Thank you for being
so,
loyal.
So for Mr. Matt Best, Pooj Taylor, I am Ross Patterson, and this is the Dexatine song we were talking about. Called Captions.
Yeah,
that was in Range 15.
Let's uplift this a little bit, you know?
Shall we?
Roll it, Ross.
1, 2, 3. If there was a caption on the picture of your life, tell the story that you tell yourself inside. Are you living out your hopes, or are you running from your fears? You can save your money, but you got to spend the years. Screen. Would you change the order? Would you find
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.